pressing you into its mold, because you don't have to be melted to be molded into this world. All you have to do is follow the tendencies of your own flesh, because that fallen nature is in every one of us. Can you say, man, we all have something in us from the fall and the curse, every one of us. That's why we have to put to death the flesh in order to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. And I would love to see people love God enough, amen, to have their heart melted. I'm going to preach tonight. Some people that have melted hearts because they love Christ that much, God is going to use that word to help mold us, and including me. People whose hearts are not melted, you're going to endure this service. You're going to go through it. You may even come to the point of saying, I know that's what the Bible says. I know that is the will of God. But whether it's going to affect you to any large degree, I heard Charles Stanley say on one of his recent broadcasts, I think as early as today, just, you know, I go across the dial, I hear somebody teaching something, and he was saying, you know, most people, he said, I don't have such a big ego that I believe that people are going to remember the title of my sermon a week after I preach it. He said, you know, he said, if I meet a lot of people that say, you said something last week that really touched me. And I'll say, okay, what specifically touched you? What was the subject matter? What did the Word of God address in your life? And they couldn't for the life of them. They said, I don't know what it was, but it deeply moved me. He said, it is not going to change you unless it somehow affects you in a more, and this is my words, not his, in more of an indelible way than just an emotional feeling. I may tell a story to illustrate a truth from Scripture, and that story may move you emotionally tonight. The Word of God is designed to do more than stimulate an emotional response tonight. It is designed to indelibly mark us for Jesus and move us in the direction of His eternal purpose. Can you say amen? And mold us. I remember first love Christians are the changes in them. The reason their witness is so powerful wherever they go, new Christians, is because that melted heart, God is doing that molding work, and everybody sees the changing that's taking place in them. Amen. They see that tender heart, that tender, sweetheart love for Christ. And sometimes we consider them, listen to this, baby Christians. And they are baby Christians. But see, something we're never to outgrow is that sweetheart love. Everybody say that sweetheart love. You were never supposed to lose it. And the day you lose it, whatever is said here tonight won't affect you. Amen. Won't help you overcome temptation. Won't make you a follower of Jesus. When you get out and blend with your school chums, you that are in school, it won't affect you. You'll be just like them tomorrow, not like him tomorrow. Amen. But whatever touches your heart enough that says Jesus Christ is important enough in my life that I want his will, I want his purpose more than anything else, then God, by his Spirit, is going to become highly active in your life. Can you say amen? And all of this stagnant Christianity is going to give way to something that smacks of fire. Hallelujah. Something that's filled with God's Spirit and His holy activity in our hearts, making us more like whom? Like His Son. Can you say amen? I got a ways to go. I'm going to be the first one to testify tonight to that fact. I have got a ways to go. Amen. But I know I have a ways to go. And I know He's working in me. Even through my trials, my tests, the things that weaken me, God subdues it all to that great purpose for Him. We know that all things work together for good. Romans 8:28, to them that love the Lord. See, that's that. See, without that heart of love for God that melts it, the molding is not going to take place. You're going to gripe through your trials. You're not going to grow closer to God through it. Can you say amen? Amen? You're going to grump and gripe. Grumpy. Amen? You know what I'm saying? You're not going to be that sweet, tender-hearted person that says, boy, you know, Jesus, without you, I'm nothing. I am nothing. But I need you so desperately, Lord. Oh, I want us to pray tonight that our hearts would be melted so they could be molded. Amen. You will never see the good in the trial unless you understand the purpose of the trial. You will never see the grand work that I want to accomplish in you unless you understand my eternal purpose for you, saith God. I want you more like my son. I want you more like my son. The fivefold ministry has been so distorted and so polluted. And yet God said the pure reason for the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher, some debate if pastor and teacher isn't one and the same. It's for one holy purpose. Amen? One purpose. Singular to the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. To the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Pastor is supposed to be moving in that direction. Evangelist, that direction. Apostle, that direction. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. The difference is, you have to be yielded. I beseech you therefore, you can hear it through the apostle. Can you say, man, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God. In other words, I want you to respond to what he did for you on the cross by melted hearts before him. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice. How many know that's the requisite response, amen, to someone who would love you and die this kind of torturous death to redeem you and me? Can you say, man, that you would present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world or pressed into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or exemplify what is that good, perfect, acceptable will of God. What is the good, perfect? Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate, amen, to be conformed to the image of his son. And if it's not moving in that direction, it is not God's anointing. It may be, do you hear me? He set that in the church for that divine purpose. The purpose hasn't changed. When God is truly, amen, moving through a ministry, it will point us in that supreme direction. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is not to get what we want. It's to get what God wills. Can you say amen? And the wonderful thing about it is when the heart is truly melted, what he wills becomes what we want. So we're not in conflict. There's no tension between us and God's holy purposes anymore. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. There's joy in this thing. Don't look like your face is going to rest down. Your chin's going to rest on the floor tonight. Amen. God don't want to hurt you. God wants to help you. He don't want the world to press you into its mold. He wants Christ to be formed in you. Can you say amen? And in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a better life than sin can offer or self-indulgence. Although I'm going to indulge myself on the Holy Ghost tonight. Praise God. Amen. But it's not just for my outward man. It's for my spirit. And God said, that's one area you can indulge in. Be ye not drunk with wine. That's for the outer man. That's, amen, wherein is excess. But be ye what? You can drink all the new wine you want tonight. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this evening as we talk about spiritual awakening. We're not talking about some other church somewhere else or some other people somewhere else. We're talking about what you're saying to us. Hallelujah. I need the stirring that you're talking about. I feel stirred, but Lord, you, what I would be satisfied with, I know will never satisfy you. I will come short of what you want to accomplish. Lord Jesus Christ, stir our souls tonight. Melt our hearts that we might be molded tonight so that wonderful spiritual activity of the Holy Ghost can be reignited within our hearts and lives. And we'll give you the praise, but we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's Sunday night and I'm tired. But in my spirit, I feel very, very good. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I know you're tired too. So if you have your Bible, please turn with me. But there is revival fire available to you and me tonight. And there is something called meat that we know not of unless we participate in that purpose that God has called us to tonight. To serve Him and to become what He wants us to become. Let me just read our text tonight to set a context in Romans 13, 11 through 13. And I pray people will begin to fall deeply in love with Jesus. Amen. I preach a lot of messages that the Spirit of God designed to cause people to fall in love with Jesus Christ. No other message about following Him is going to be relevant if the first message about loving Him back is not received. Amen. So some preachers just want to jump the gun and get you to start doing the things He said and being as devoted as He commands. And we love Him because He, what? First loved us. So the first thing I want to tell people is just how deep and powerful the love of God is and what Jesus suffered and what He went through to exemplify that love for you and me. And pray that you will find Him worthy of loving back with a tender, melted heart. If your heart melts before Him, amen, and you love Him back. If a man love me, amen, serving Him doesn't become a job anymore. It becomes a joy. Amen. If a man love me, he will keep my commandments. And what happens then? Amen. And they will not, listen to this, won't be a job. Everybody say it won't be a job. Everybody say it will be a joy. But only if you love Him. All things do not work together for good in your life if you don't love God like that. Oh, by the way, there is a way to love God, and only one way to love God. Amen. Amen. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with the corner of your life conveniently relegated to your religious practice. No. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with half of your heart, but half of it is for the other things in the world and the other things that you put up as a priority. No. Thou shalt love the God with 90% of your heart. No. Thou shalt love the Lord with how much of your heart? All of your heart. All of your strength. All of your mind. Amen. That means the whole of your being. That's when the Bible says offer your body a living sacrifice. The body is the container for soul and spirit and mind. Amen. Amen. It means the whole of you is offered to Him. Can you say amen? And you're doing it in response to what? I beseech you because God commands you to love Him. No, I beseech you by the mercies of God to do this great act of devotion. I beseech you to respond to His divine love and sacrifice for you by giving yourself wholly to Him. It's the requisite response for a love like this. Jesus did not just die for you. Jesus didn't just die for you. No one put Him up before a firing squad or hung Him like Saddam Hussein. No one put Him to sleep. You talk about cruel and unusual punishment. The Supreme Court just struck down a legal suit by someone in Kentucky, the state of Kentucky, that lethal injection was cruel and unusual punishment. They said, no, it isn't. I'm going to tell you something. You want to hear cruel and unusual punishment? It's what Jesus went through on the cross for you and for me. Jesus was not just killed for your sins. He wasn't slain like the sacrificed lamb, which the knife cut the throat, and within a few seconds, the animal was dead without a lot of suffering. If there was suffering, it would be anticipating. It would actually be the smell of blood as you neared the temple. And those animals would sense death in the air from the smell of all that blood. And they would begin to get highly agitated before the knife cut their throat. Jesus' throat was not cut. His head was not cut off and life is stopped within a few seconds. Jesus was tortured to death. Amen. The pain He suffered was exquisite pain. And He did it for hours and hours and hours. I'm talking about what He went through before He even walked up that hill to hang for 6 hours on that cross. Was horrendous torture. The Bible said his visage, and I believe there's a spiritual part of that, that speaking about his actual spiritual. When he became sin for us, he didn't sin, but he was treated as a sinner as far as God was concerned. And his visage, his holy person was marred more than any man's, because he didn't take on himself the sin of one great sinner. He took himself on himself the sins of all sinners everywhere. And was judged for all of those sins. So that's why the terrible, terrifying things were exacted upon him. When we saw him in that condition, the suffering servant, amen, Isaiah said, there's nothing that we should desire him. It was repulsive what they saw and looked at. His visage was marred more than any man's, inside and on the outside as well. There's an external application of that. And that is what he was beaten like no one else was beaten. Only what the angel strengthened him to do. And that didn't mean giving him something to take away the pain, but strength to endure the pain, amen, until all the wrath of God was satisfied. The Bible said after he said yes to the will of God in the garden, and he said, not my will, but thine be done. One of the Gospels said an angel came and ministered to him. And remember what happened when angels ministered to Elijah? He'd been in that cave and he hadn't eaten anything out of fear for his life to stick his head out of the cave. Amen. But when God found him and he got ready to go for God again, amen, heard the still small voice, amen, what happened? An angel came to him with a meal. And he went on the strength of that meal for how many days? For 40 days. That was quite a meal, wasn't it? Amen. Wouldn't you like to have the patent on that? Can you say, amen, we'll give you one meal? Amen. You don't have to eat it. Can you imagine the weight we would lose in 40 days? Can you say, amen, without losing any strength in the process? You don't need to lose no weight. You quit that laughing right now. Let somebody else laugh. No, I'm just kidding. You know how I am. Let me tell you something. I'm filled with joy tonight because of what Jesus has done for me. I want to be melted so I can be molded. I want my heart to keep the sweetheart love. The first love is the foundation for growing in the Lord. When you lose that, it doesn't matter what else you got. Jesus says it won't work. I'm going to take my lampstand. Your light isn't going to shine anymore. Oh, your scriptures can go forth. All of your knowledge of the Bible and right and wrong can go forth, but your light isn't going to shine anymore. That supernatural aspect of Christ in you is not going to be seen by anybody else. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, God wants the first love, amen, to burn brightly in us. Why? So that he can mold us into what he divinely purposes us all to become. Because the moment the first love, the flame of that love goes out, the softness in the heart goes out. You may get emotional in a service. I'm not talking about a momentary emotion that is evoked. I'm talking about, amen, a devotion that is developed because you love Christ supremely. And you're willing to stay soft and sweet before him and walk in that sweetheart love that lets him mold you. Except you become as a little child. Everybody say molded. How many know a little child can still be molded? I mean, you know what the Catholic Church used to say, or I heard they used to say, they said, there's no secret, so I'm going to tell it tonight. Give me a child until he's 5 years old to influence in Catholicism. He'll be a Catholic for the rest of his life. In other words, we can mold that young mind. Did you know the window for your learning is most crucial and apparent when you're young, not when you're older? It's actually harder to learn. You can still learn, but boy, when you're 5, 6 years old, you're like a sponge. Amen? There is a window to learn the human language, and they're still toying with this, trying to understand how people with the intellect, if they've been deprived, they found some little girl somewhere that had been kept in a back room in the dark for the first 13 years of her life and never hardly spoken to and never learned to talk. And it was very difficult. I don't know how they ever got her out of that. It wasn't just the emotional trauma. There's a window of opportunity where we learn what we need to know. And it's at that tender stage, because you can be molded at that tender stage. Amen. You know what I love about the Holy Spirit? For years in Soviet Russia and Red China, for year after year, Marxist communism was instilled from day one all the way up through grade school. And if they went to college, amen, Marxist atheistic communism was instilled. Amen. But God, by the Holy Spirit,
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Broke down. They didn't have to reprogram anybody. They didn't have to go. That's the glory of the gospel. If you don't believe it's powerful, look what it does in some of these nations that have had nothing but atheism and communism taught them. And yet when they hear, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, people are converted. They believe upon Him. The scales drop off their eyes and they're saved. Why? Because the gospel doesn't come in word only, but it came in power. You didn't hear me. It came in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And that's why the church is supposed to be being affected, still affected by the power of God that comes through the Word of God. Amen? If you lose the first love, you can't be melted. No way your heart's going to melt without the first love. Remember the sweetheart love you had for a husband or wife or someone in your life, that sweetheart love? You wanted to please them, didn't you? I'm going to tell you something. Newsflash. If you didn't want to please them, it wasn't the sweetheart love. Sweetheart love wants to please its object. That's why Jesus and the Father had such a powerful relationship of love. He said, the works I do, they're not mine. What I see my Father do. I have meat that you know not of, for my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Can you say amen? It's hard. Did you know it's hard? Billy Graham Association will be the first, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, to give the statistics. Very few people get saved after 60. It's minimal. Very few people come to Christ after 60. Statistics prove it out. They just don't. Why do they not? Even though the Spirit of God is so powerful, moving in atheistic countries to convict and convince. But why? Because as you age, amen, you've got to be careful in here. You've been in the way for a long time. I caution you in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. If you think you've arrived somewhere and you don't need that tender, broken heart before God, amen, you're not going any further than you are. And if you're not going further than you are, spiritual activity will cease in your life. I didn't say you'll cease from speaking in tongues or prophesying or getting revelations from the Word. I'm talking about in your character, nothing's going to change. Next year, nothing's going to be different. Can you say, man, if you're rude to people this year, you're going to be rude to people next year. Amen. Did I hear an echo in this room bounce off the wall or something? If you're unforgiving this year, you're going to be unforgiving next year. If you hold grudges this year, I don't care how many meetings you go to until the sweetheart love's developed so the Spirit can make changes. Nothing's going to change. Amen? Amen? And that's why sometimes it's so hard to have a spiritual awakening where people have been Christian for a while. Because they lose the sweetheart love. They can't be molded because their hearts no longer melt. I didn't say we wouldn't get emotional from time to time. I'm not talking about that. I love Pamela with a deeper love than mere emotion. It wouldn't have lasted 45 years. Whew, that's a long time. Somebody say, that's a long time. Hallelujah. I'm proud of 45 years. In the good proud, not the pompous stuff, but just, it's just an accomplishment, amen, to be in love after all of these years. Amen? Hallelujah. I love my wife, and I love my God. And when I don't feel that love, I want to go back, and I want to review again. See, that's why communion is to be practiced in the church, is to rekindle the sweetheart love. If we receive it correctly, it's to rekindle the sweetheart love. Can you say amen? That's what it's for. Because it focuses you right back to where? The cross where Jesus suffered and died for you. What's that supposed to do in your heart? It's supposed to melt it down, break it down, make it tender before Him again. Amen. It's supposed to keep you from being so harsh on others because you realize if it wasn't for that sacrifice and that grace and that mercy that came out of His intense suffering and pain, you could not be saved. Amen. And since we have freely received because of His suffering, we should freely give. Can you say amen? It cost Him more, amen, to save us than it does to forgive us, than it does us to forgive others. We don't have to go through that kind of suffering. All we have to do is give it away just like we received it. Can you say amen? He had the hard part of this. We have the easy part of this. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Somebody give Him praise in this room tonight. Hallelujah. Spiritual slumber is a result of sweetheart love dying. There's no, I can try to work the crowd tonight and work you up. And, you know, I could say things tonight to stimulate emotion in here just for emotion's sake. And we might have an emotional response. And on the service, it would look like, boy, we had an exciting service tonight. But if it doesn't change you when you walk out that door, if you're the same person on the job, same person at home, the same person in life that you always were, God doesn't have access to you to do that grand work of making you more like His Son. And the sense of excitement is gone. A man at work I told you about was a new Christian. He went to several churches. You know, there are churches without the sweetheart love. They got the doctrine all right, but they don't have that love in them. It's not flowing anymore. If it don't flow to God, let me tell you something. It don't flow to people right either. Amen. Amen. They don't sense that anyone gives a holy hoot whether they come back or not. Amen. And you can go to a church that has a big welcome out front. But when you walk in, you're going to find out if the sign is true. And he said when he got spiritually hungry, he started visiting churches. And he went to several churches and no one really. I mean, there are people that are greeters. Everybody say greeters. And it is their J-O-B. Everybody say J-O-B. Let me know what this is. That's my job. My job at church is to take turns. And when someone comes in to say, "We're glad to have you. Welcome." I'm good at it. I can be a greeter. "I'm glad to have you. Welcome." "Yes, yes, yes." "Oh, yes, and you too." "I'm glad to have you. Welcome." I meet these same people that if they just do it mechanically, even though they're saying the right words, I meet them at the grocery store. You know? I mean, at Blockbuster, for a while they had all their employees in Plant City. But they were programmed to, when you walk in the door, to acknowledge you, mainly to let you know that I'm watching you. Don't you take no movies. Can you say amen? Oh, you think it's just because they really care about you being there? No, it's because I got my eye on you. Only they don't do that. They say, "How are you today, sir?" But see, they got so good at it, now they don't even look up. They don't even know who I am. Amen. But they're looking down here, shuffling through the movies, and out of their peripheral, they see somebody coming. "And how are you today, sir?" "I'm great." You know, one day I'd just like to try something and say, "I'm dead, thank you." I don't even think they would flinch. I really don't. I think they'd go around and go, "That's nice. Have a nice day." You can go through all of those motions. We get good at going through the motions. And this man said, "I tried several churches and people shook my hand and nothing." But she said, "I went into this one church." See, what captivated him and captured him, amen, was the love of God. Amen. When people love God with that tender heart, you love people that way. You love people. They feel it. They sense it. And he said, "I went into a church and they just embraced me." It didn't mean they all give him a group hug. That'd scare you away. Amen. I mean, it'd be awful to walk in the door and everybody pile up. Oh! "Wait, wait, wait." No, it was an atmosphere. It was an atmosphere, something he felt when he walked in that place that said these people genuinely love Christ and they genuinely love each other and they genuinely love people. And he said, "I just felt so comfortable there." And that's where he walked the aisle and came to Jesus Christ. That preacher's servant was not the key to him coming to Christ. Those people's love prepared his heart for salvation. Amen. Wow, did you hear me? We're so dependent on the anointing on the minister and not the anointing on the Christians. Amen. We're over-dependent on the anointing on the minister and not the anointing he wants to be working in us. Amen? Amen. "By this shall all men know that you are what? My disciples." My true, authentic followers, because you have love, one, not one for another, it's worded one to another. It's the visible, active love that can be seen by others, not just something you claim you have in your heart, but something verified to the way you treat one another. Something they can look at and say, "I see it." That's why they call them at Berea, or at Antioch. That's why they call them, the world about them, saw how they related to one another and said, "They are Christians." Christian is not a title the church has grabbed for itself initially. It was a title given them by the world who saw the way they lived their lives, particularly in the way they loved God and one another. Today, Christianity is a generic term that we use to our own convenience. In that day, you had to earn the title by living the life. Whew, you didn't hear me. In that day, you had to earn the title by living the life. You couldn't just go to church and live like the devil and claim him. You couldn't just sit in church and hate your brother and claim him. You had to love him enough to serve him, love your neighbor enough to forgive him and get along with him to earn the title Christian. Whew. Turn the air up or turn it down. It's getting hot in here. No, it's perfect actually. I just saw some of you sweating. I thought maybe we need to mess with the air conditioner. Come to find out it wasn't the air conditioner, it's our flesh dying. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, let it die. Amen. Some messages are designed as an attack on the flesh to help us mortify it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want my flesh to die. The more of me that dies, the more of him that lives. And the more of the new me that lives with him. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this room tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when I go back to those fundamentals of the faith and I revisit the cross, Christians, this is old hat to us, but communion service, and this is not a communion service tonight. This is Passover Sunday for the Jewish community. Amen, though. And Jesus is our Passover. Can you say amen? And if our hearts begin to melt because we start falling in love with him, we used to sing the song, Terry, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. At Sean's wedding, I'll never forget it, I felt an unction. Amen. I remember saying at your wedding, amen, that the key to staying married and staying in love, it's one thing to stay hitched. It's another thing to stay in love with the person you're hitched to. And believe me, if you're going to be hitched as a Christian, if you can stay in love, it really, really helps. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? I mean, Terry and Dale are hitched, but I think there's still some love there. I'm not saying they don't have problems and differences, but they work through it. Don't you think so? I think so. I don't have Terry to mess with that often, so he's off this week. He can be in both services. We'll sweat him tonight. Glory to God. His flesh got to be rising up by now. We'll take care of that tonight. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. Amen. But if the love is there, if the love is still there, it's not some burdensome thing. It's not, boy, I'm stuck with this person for the rest of my life. But in order to be obedient to God, I'll stay with them. If love is there, it's not just that it takes the job out of it and it puts the joy in it. And the joy in serving him is what's so effective in our witness to the world. Not just mechanically doing it, but doing it from the heart. God is a stickler for everything coming from the heart. Servants, obey your masters in the Lord. This is right. In our day, it would be our bosses. Amen. For this is right. For this is right. And don't do it with eye service as men pleasers, but from the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. You can fool him, but you can't fool God because he looks past all the exterior, looks directly on the heart. To the average eye, the outward appearance of Laodicea was they got to be under God's blessing. Look what the Lord has done. The richest church in town. Amen. They just keep getting richer and building bigger. God's got to be in it. Jesus knocks at the door of that church and says, you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. And no one judged them that way but Christ. The problem is they wouldn't open the door to him to make the adjustments and the changes that were essential. And he said, if you don't open the door to me to change this, I will have to spew you out of my mouth. Amen? And where's he standing? This is the church. This is not the unregenerate world. This is the church. This is the church at Laodicea. This was not a pagan church. This was a church established on biblical principles. These are the seven churches of Asia. And their testimony, we're rich and thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You're not going to go preach repentance to a church that's got a big building program and getting bigger every day. They don't want to hear it. We don't need that. Look what we've got. God is in this. Hearts aren't going to melt at the mention of the cross. The cross isn't even going to be central to the message anymore. It's almost like we got past the cross. And we got over the cross. And now we're going on to bigger and better. Honey, there is no bigger and better. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, did you? I don't care how big we build our edifices. There's nothing bigger and better than what Jesus did on the cross in your Bible. And the transforming power of His blood sacrifice in our life. What His Spirit can do and accomplish in His church when our hearts are melted before Him. Amen. And you don't have to be melted for the world to make you like it. Just stay just like you are and the world will have its way with you. But if God's going to have His way, your heart has to melt. Can you say amen? Well, what's going to melt your heart? You're going to have to love Him back for loving you. We love Him because He first loved us. And if you love Him, you start loving each other. Try to love each other without loving Him like that. You're going to blow it. Yeah, I've had people tell me they love me for 35 years. The majority of them couldn't care if I lived, died, went hungry. But when I see them, I get the same thing. We just love you so much, brother. I thought, yeah, I know. You're there for me. Yeah, I know. I know. I know. I don't say that because I'm not rude. God is working in me. Can you say amen? I even have to repent of thinking it. Fact is, I'm repenting right now. Amen. For telling you about it. Amen. I'm serious. I don't want that in me. But you know, I have to subdue my flesh because it's baloney. And I think, how must God feel? How must God feel with these empty words of love? What must He think of our empty professions if it's not coming from the heart? Come from the heart, it affects your life. If it don't come from the heart, it's words and nothing more. You can sing them, say them. It has no value to God. Don't love in word, He says, or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. True worshipers worship Him in spirit and in truth. I said this morning, most people know little about worshiping God in spirit and less about worshiping God in truth. We don't put a high premium on being authentic. We just get our free ticket to heaven. And the guys that say it's that simple, they have a hard time explaining how people that live for the devil don't give God the time of day, whose hearts are so calloused if you even confront them about their sinful practices, they want to lash out at you. Amen. They more or less shake their fist in defiance against the Lordship of Jesus Christ, but they got their ticket to heaven and nothing can change it. That is baloney right out of the pit of hell. Many are going to say to Him on that day what preachers are saying to them down here. Amen. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, I've done mighty works in Your name. He said, that's not the issue, amen, of what good work you did or did not do. The issue is, did I know you? Amen. He didn't say, you never knew me or you never claimed to know me. He said, I never knew you. Salvation means that God recognizes you as an authentic, bona fide, born again son of the living God. And that only comes through repentance and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, not your Savior, and then see to what degree you will allow lordship in your life. Just thought I'd run that by you because a lot of people, many, many means a whole bunch of folks are going to get a rude awakening when they die. I don't want a rude awakening. I want somebody to wake me up right now. Amen. That's why the Scripture said, and that knowing the time that it's high time to awake out of sleep. Romans 13:11-13, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. I like what A.W. Tozer said. He was never one to mince words. He was forthright. And he said, what we see in many circles, Christian circles today, is, and I quote, a quasi-Christianity is achieving acceptance by compromise. It is dickering with the unregenerate world for acceptance. And as someone said recently, it's offering Christ at bargain prices to win customers. The total result is a conglomerate religious mess that cannot but make the reverent Christian sick at heart. I see things in the Christian world every day that breaks my heart. How am I supposed to not be sick at heart when Jesus is sick at heart over that? When he said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth, he means it makes me heart sick to see this facade when the heart is not melted before me. On the other hand, there's a church that looks like the most dedicated. At one end of the spectrum is the seventh church of Asia, Laodicea. At the other end of the spectrum is Ephesus. Paul was involved in the establishment of the church at Ephesus. He said in the New Testament, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Can you say amen? How many know that church had the right foundation? Amen. Talk about the apostles, prophets, and Christ. The apostle Paul, he preached Christ to them. Read his writings. You'll know what Paul preached down at Ephesus. Can you say amen? So they had some stuff down, buddy. They had doctrine down. Amen. After all, the writer of 13 books of the New Testament, amen, was there in the process of the establishment of that church. Amen. And to the church of Ephesus, write, amen, I know your works. Hey, boy, listen to the good stuff that he's reading off about them. Amen. You try those that are apostles, that are not apostles, found them to be liars. Everyone had to stand the test of the Word of God. They wouldn't fall for any junk. Can you say amen? They suffered persecution for the sake of Christ and stood up and said, I'm a believer in Jesus and I'm not changing my stand for Him. All of this applause is given them. God applauds all the good stuff. But He said, I've got somewhat against you. And that must have come as a shock. That must have shocked their system. Some of you have the right theology. You follow teachings that are correct. Push come to shove, you'd stand for Jesus and lose your job rather than to reject Him. But He said, I've got something against you. What could you possibly have against us? He said, you've left your first love. How important is that to God? If you've got the correct theology, you know the Scriptures, you stand up for truth, you weather the storms of persecution. How important is the heart to God in all of this? How important, how vital is that heart attitude to God? That melted heart, that flaming heart of love in all of this. We got all the rest right. Why should that be such an issue? Because it's phony if it isn't coming from the heart, even though it's right. Did you know when I tell my wife I love her, if it don't come from the heart, if it's phony in my heart, she's going to feel it after a while. Amen. Even though I'm saying the right things, I'm buying the card. You see these guys in there at Valentine's Day and anniversary, you know, particularly days when you're obligated to get something or get something. Can you say amen? And they're all in there searching desperately at the last minute, looking for a card. And after a while, it don't matter what it says. You know, it just I got to get a card for the woman. I got to get, hey, where's the candy? It's almost gone. Well, what is that little box over there? Yeah, you got one? Give me that box. I said, got the candy, I got the card, that's it. It's just, you know, it's kind of like a get out of jail free card in Monopoly. You know you're going to jail and you're going to need this. Someday this is going to be very important. You got the card, you got the box, you go home, you hand them the card, you hand them the box, you head for the couch and get the remote. She's got the card. She's got the she got the candy. What more could she ask? And on top of that, she's got me. I mean, what does the woman want? You know what the husband is to do with the wife? He said to nourish her, and we think that's enough. We go out, especially we that are primary breadwinners, we go out and we work hard all day. If the woman don't think I love her, she ought to recognize what I just did today. I went through 8 hard hours a day, and I'm telling you it wasn't easy. I love the woman. I shouldn't have to hug on her. I shouldn't have to kiss on her. I shouldn't have to tell her she looks pretty in that dress. I want my remote, my TV, and my popcorn. Can you say, man, I've earned it? The woman must know that I love her. I worked hard all day. If she'd done what I'd done, she'd know just how much I love her. He said, we should nourish and cherish. Everybody say cherish. See, you can just meet all the physical part without touching the emotional need at all. And your wife needs more to you than $50 of mad money to spend at the mall. She needs you. My wife needs me. My son is living with us now. You know, we don't suffer from the empty nest syndrome anymore. Or as my wife's physician put it, can't run around the house naked, can you? Didn't he, Pamela Venable? Yes, he did, just this week. He's a wise doctor. She said, our son has come to live with us. Can't run around the house naked anymore, can you? Said, no, sir, we cannot do that anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. Watch out back there. Watch out. I didn't know we had nudists in here. Anyway, moving right along. Moving right along. I guess if I was young and beautiful like some of you folks. But anyway, moving right along. Cherish. Cherish. Even as Christ the church. You see, Jesus doesn't just meet our needs. He cherishes us. Cherishes us. That's what evokes that love back, is the cherishing. Can you say amen? The cherishing. We men are not wired for cherishing as much as we should be. We should become more sensitive in that area and cherish more, because our wives need us to cherish them. Amen. The Bible said in the book of Nahum, and Nahum has some scorching judgments in the land, but all of it was designed to bring them back to God. So God could come back to them and truly bless them. What a loving God. It was a love act. Even the chastisement in Israel was always born out of love for that nation. If he had left them to their own way, they would have been destroyed by their enemies. But the enemies actually brought them back to him. And when they got back to him, he put them big wings over him. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the sons of men put their trust under the covert of thy wings, the covering of your spirit. Can you say, man? It said the husband should love the wife and nourish and cherish her even as Christ, the church. He nourishes us with his word. He provides for our needs. But he cherishes us. He wants to hold us close. He wants a relationship with us. He told the church of Laodicea that had all of these external needs met, he wanted to cherish them, so that they would love him back enough to serve him and not put the premium just on the stuff of life, but on him and his love. Amen. And he said, if any man will open that door, what am I going to do? I'm going to come in and sup with him and him with me. That's romantic stuff. That's intimacy. Amen. He didn't just want to go in and kick and take names. Can you say, man, he wanted to love them into loving him back, and they wouldn't let him love them into loving him back. They had everything they want in their silver and gold and their prosperity. And the heart never melted. And he said, as many as I what? As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous! Have a zeal and a heart for repentance. Because if you'll come back to me, I can come back to you and embrace you, nourish you, cherish you. He nourishes the church with his word. He cherishes the church with his love. The book of Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that are his. This is kind of a play on words. The word knoweth in the Hebrew is the word for cherish. It's not just he has knowledge of you or recognizes you, but he, see, covenant love cherishes its object. Amen? Amen. Cherishes it. Cherishes it. What makes me feel special is when God cherishes me. He lets me know how important I am to him. He doesn't need me. I need him. And what's so incredible about his love is a God that is self-sufficient and doesn't need anything from me, wants a relationship with me, and cherishes me. Because he has power, but he is love. And if I start loving him back for loving me enough to give his son, and loving Christ enough for suffering like he did to die for me, my heart becomes melted in his presence. Jesus, just the mention of his name. Remember that song? Do you remember more than the song? Do you remember the first love in your heart when Jesus, just the mention of his name, and what did your heart would begin to feel that love back to him. Do you remember that? Did anyone ever have the first love? Was it ever there? The Bible said the way to get it back is to remember that and recognize if it's not there now, God wants us to go after it. Remember. 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 Communion is a good time to remember. I love to talk to new Christians. They're so moldable. When you tell them something God said, they say, oh, I want to take that and put it here and apply it. People that lost the first love, they've heard it all. They say, well, you know, I had a lady one time in our congregation. She's not here. Don't try to figure out who she was. I'm trying to not think about it anymore, so you can't even read my mind. Amen. Listen, folks. Amen. And she said, she told me about calling someone up in the media and giving them a piece of her mind. She told me I let them have it. I ripped them up one side and I ripped them down the other side. And I thought, wait. That's nothing to be proud of. That's nothing to be bragging about. But the flesh loves to glory and you know, you're in some of these things. I mean, I've heard people give testimonies about how tough they were before they came to Jesus and the flesh would get in it. And after a while, they're not talking about how God has changed them. They're talking about what a tough egg I am. You don't mess with me, boy. Back in the day, I'd take you outside. I'd tear your hair out. I'd rip you. Amen. And you're listening and say, wait a minute. You know, we don't just glory in the flesh here. You know, we know you were a bad cat. Okay, what are you now? Can you say amen? You're scaring me. Quit it. I'm serious. I've heard some people get on a roll telling about how bad they were before, and it's almost like they were glorying in their badness. In other words, you didn't want to mess with me. Boy, back then, you didn't want to mess with me. Boy, you messed with me back in the day. Oh, boy, you don't even want to mess with me right now. Hallelujah. I mean, you expect them to just keep right on. It's just the flesh. We ought to be ashamed. The Bible said we should come to the place of devotion and moldedness and meldedness before the Lord that we despise even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. We don't glory in it. We're ashamed of it. We don't want nothing to do with it anymore. Somebody give God glory in this room. Hallelujah. That's why when they came to Milan Lefevre after he came to Christ, he would have a Christian concert and people would, he was with the family, the Lefevres, and they sang in churches all over the place, and he sang with his Christian family. He didn't know Christ as his Savior. So after he got on his own out from under their influence, he immediately went into the rock and roll circuit. And they became an opening band for the Rolling Stones, one of the colossal rock bands of the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. I tell you, I have come to believe in zombies after watching Keith Richards. Anyway, you'll understand that if you ever see him. He looks like they should have buried him 5 years ago, but he's still rock and roll. It's amazing to me you can live like that and still be alive and some good people are gone. But anyway, God's going to work it all out. Amen. But anyway, God is good. But they opened for the Rolling Stones, one of the most colossal pop bands of the 70s at that time, when Milan became a Christian. Amen. When Milan became a Christian and began to do exclusively Christian music, after a concert, inevitably, young people would come up to him and they would say, Milan, tell us what it was like when you opened for the Rolling Stones and partied with the Rolling Stones and were on tour with the... In other words, you're touching these celebrities. You tell us. They, Christian young people want to hear about what it was like to affiliate with the Rolling Stones. He had distanced himself from that life. He was ashamed of that life. It was nothing to be proud of, amen, to be living a life of debauchery. He had come to a new life in Jesus Christ. He would tell them, but it shocked him that they wanted more to know about his life with the Rolling Stones than his new life in Jesus Christ. These were Christian concerts and Christian young people. If you think that just because we entertain them at church that we've captured their hearts, that somehow by osmosis they're going to evolve into Christian, you're wrong. Your kids are going to have the same problems as the world if they don't start loving Jesus. And it don't matter if they're in a youth group at church. It makes absolutely no difference. If they don't get convicted and really make Jesus the Lord of their life, you're in for a hard time and they're in for a hard life. Amen. Somebody say amen loud and clear tonight. Amen. You don't get it from sitting in a youth group. Amen. Flirting with the girls. I've been there, done that. But when I got saved, it changed me. Amen. Can you say amen? Everybody say when you get saved, it changes you. If you're not changed, you're not saved. Amen. I always have to give the scripture because somebody's absolutely going to tell me if you walk the aisle and say the words, that's if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away. Everything does become new. Can you say amen? Buried with him in baptism and raised with him to walk in the newness of life. This is not a scripture, it's a song. I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. Hey man, the great discovery that Jesus can give you a brand new life with a brand new value system. When you get saved, your life, it's a life-changing event. It's called regeneration. And the Holy Spirit is capable of some powerful stuff. Amen. Remember Frankenstein? You got a dead body laying there and a powerful, they harness electricity to come down through this gobbledygook of tubes and stuff, and it strikes finally and it goes down into this inanimate body, and suddenly this life is given because all of this power is transferred into it, and he, ah! Do you think that a sci-fi Frankenstein movie can have more life-changing power in the fantasy world than Jesus can do by the Holy Spirit in a life? My Lord God is capable of more, amen, than just giving you a free ticket to heaven. He's capable of changing you from the inside out and changing everything in your life. That's why Mylon Feather said, my life has been changed. Those things that people thought was some honor, those things I'm ashamed of. I despise even the garment. That's why some Christian young people hated to go to certain Christian concerts, because it was so much like what they had recently just been delivered from. The culture of drugs and sex and rock and roll, we have kind of like Jesus light in some circles. Can you say amen? It don't have the calories. You know what I say? You don't have to go and indulge yourself with going all the way with God. You can have a Jesus light. That's why in Charisma Magazine, when they interviewed one of the pop Christian groups, one of the premier Christian groups ministering to young people today, the first thing they did on the interview is offer the journalist a beer out of the refrigerator. I'm telling you, we don't need Christian young people being led, amen, by people that are not sold out to Jesus Christ. The pastor is a swear he don't have no fun, but these Christians over here know how to party. My son became an alcoholic because of a Christian band that gave him his first exposure to drinking. Somebody said, what's your stand on liquor? Don't touch it. Satan is destroying homes and lives by the thousands. 50,000 people are going down the highway this year because of drinking and driving. Drink iced tea. It's good. Pepsi is all right. Amen. Can you say amen? Take Pepto-Bismol for your stomach's sake. Amen. It'll coat it and it'll help it. Come on. You don't need a buzz to quit belching. Amen. I've heard it all. Every excuse in the book. I'm telling you, I've had my son in the hospital with alcohol poisoning close to death. And I'm telling you, stay away from it. The devil is destroying lives with it. What do we need it for? Amen. What do you need it for? Amen. The church needs to be a little bit above the world. We need to let them know there are dangers out there. One drink to some people will never hook them, but to other people will hook them. Can you say amen? My son was hooked by that drink, and he got it from a Christian band that he was playing with. And that's where he got the permission to continue it. And when he decided to quit it, he couldn't. And he went deeper into the drug culture, and deeper drink led to drugs, and drug led to all the other sins that almost killed him. And I'm glad my son's alive today. I'm glad God preserved him. I'm glad God kept him. But if anybody thinks I'm going to be soft on sin, you're wrong. If anybody thinks I'm going to preach a liberal message, you're wrong. If anybody wants an umbrella to do these things under, you're wrong! Amen. It might not be a personal sin to you, but if it causes a weaker brother to become into bondage, stay away from it. Amen. Have enough of God to stay away from it. Amen. You don't have to be like the world, and you don't need it. But I've heard it all. Why can't I do that? Why can't I do this? Why can't you just become just like the world? Because you have another master. Amen. And people are watching you. I want to walk lightly and softly before the Lord at work because people are watching me. I want to lead them in the path that will lead them to life. I want them to know there is a better way. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? I don't want to be part of the compromised crowd that have a testimony that is empty of love for Christ. And so many things are done in the name of, under the covering of grace. We're abusing grace. We use this that Jesus suffered to give us as a license to sin. My son played in he played right down the street from the church. One of the toughest bars in Plant City, in Sulphur Springs. Then he played in the Impacts and went around to Holiday Inns and different places. It's real easy to graduate from alcohol to drugs. Here we sit in church tonight. I used to tell this story. It's an important story. I'm going to stop with this story. True story. Very rich man. Lived in a beautiful home. I saw homes like that up in the mountains of Chattanooga, up on Lookout Mountain. There's some homes up in the mountain. Sometimes the snow and ice gets bad, so they have an incline built. You can actually park your car at the bottom and pay to park it down there and come down the incline. It's on a cable car that takes you up the mountain, brings you down. So no matter if it ices over, you can have the beauty of living on that mountaintop, even in bad weather, and still get down and commute to work. This man was a very rich man. He lived in one of those secluded, mountainous, palatial places. And he had a daughter that he loved with his whole heart. And she had to go down that mountain to go to school. He wanted a driver to take his luxury automobile and take her down that mountain to school, pick her up and bring her up that mountain safely. And it was a curvy road going down, and there were drops that were straight down. There were guardrails, but if you hit that guardrail with enough force, you could jump it or you could tear it down and go off the mountain. So he began to interview drivers. And one man come in and said, I am a professional background in professional racing. I have driven cars at very high speeds. He said, the father said, well, how close could you come to the edge of some of those hairpin curves without going over the side? He said, I could come within 2 inches and still be in perfect safety because I am a professional driver. He had another driver in and he said, I used to be a bus driver. And I've driven buses in some of the mountainous areas, and I can drive safely. He said, well, how close? Because I'm very responsible. I've had 30 people, 40 people at a time on my bus, and I've always arrived safely. And he said, well, how close can you come to the edge of some of those drop-offs and still be safe with my daughter? He said, I could come within 3 inches of that and never put her in jeopardy. He really wanted the job. The third one said, I'm a father too. And I've got a daughter about the age of your daughter. And I wouldn't want anything to happen to my daughter, and I will drive accordingly concerning your daughter. He said, well, sir, how close do you think you could come to the edge? He said, I don't want to get near the edge with a cargo that precious. He says, you're hired. I want you to drive my daughter down that hill. When Christians start wanting to see how far we can go, how close we can get to the edge, how far we can push the envelope and still maintain a testimony, the first love is dead. Can you say amen? Come on, church, the first love is dead because the first love says, I don't want to get close to the edge, despising even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. Can you say amen? I don't want to push the envelope. Amen. How far can we go and still be saved? I mean, look at the church today, how far we're going and still claiming salvation. And young people are coming along and say, so that's what it means to be saved. Amen. It's a pretty good deal. I got my free ticket to heaven and I can live basically any way that I want to. Can you say amen and do the things that please me? I can blend with the world and take no heat or persecution and still, amen, maintain my relationship with my God. What, amen, the devil has done to the church of Jesus Christ. If we ever get the first love back, all of that is going to change. And if we don't get it back, it doesn't matter what's preached. Nothing's going to change. Amen. If you heard a fire and brimstone message designed to straighten the church out, if people don't love Jesus with the sweetheart love, it's not going to matter. Jesus himself spoke to Ephesus. And that church failed. It failed historically. It failed because the first love died. But everything else was good, and nobody repented. They had too many good things going for them. Pure doctrine. Standing for truth. Weathering persecution. I don't need to embrace Jesus from the heart like I once did. Jesus said, if you don't, I will come to thee quickly. That's how God, that's how important this is to God. I'll come to thee quickly. The word quickly is used in your King James. And I will remove your lampstand. You're going to have church, but you're not going to have influence. People are going to see through all of your religiosity. They're not going to feel or sense that you love God or love them. And your influence is going to be killed. Your light is not going to shine before men. The world out there is pretty savvy. They can read us. We're living epistles. We are read of all men. They're pretty savvy. Can you say amen? And on top of that, there's nothing hid from the eyes of him of whom we have to do. I don't want to push the envelope to see what I can get away with and still claim salvation. I want to stay close to Jesus. That's where the safety is. I want to hug the mountain. Not get close to the edge. Glory to God. My soul's precious cargo. How about yours? And not only is it precious to me, the souls of others are important to me. Amen. There have been so much compromise in Christian leadership in the last 12 months that a little leaven is beginning to run down through the church. And we're going to see more people. If the Christian leaders can do it and maintain their ministries, maintain their following, maintain and sustain their anointing, amen. If they can commit these sins and not step down and show humility, amen, and continue on as if it never happened, like a bump in the road, amen, it's going to trickle down. Come on, it's going to trickle right on. It's already trickling down. Christians are going to justify if they can do it and God blesses them with great ministries, then it's no big deal to God, is it? Amen. The problem is, you know something that's worse than an immediate judgment coming? God letting people run their course without anything happening. Feels like a little bump in the road and just keep right on going. Did you realize that's a judgment? Did you realize what kind of judgment is falling on leadership right now? Amen. Do you realize there's a judgment where God lets you alone? Do you realize that where he does not chastise you? Can you say, man, do you realize there's a judgment worse than being chastised by Him? And that's when He quits chastising you and lets you run on the way that you're going with seeming blessings in your life. Because when they knew God, they would not serve God, but worshiped and served creature more than Creator. God gave them up to a reprobate mind. What is a reprobate mind? It's a mind that cannot cease from sinning. Amen. That is a bondage that nothing can break anymore. That is a blindness that though you confront people with absolute truth in the Scripture, they will turn a blind eye to it and go their own way. Can you say, man, they will justify every attitude and every deed. They will find a way to justify. We got people committing sin today and saying God has taken them through this journey. Honey, if you're sinning today, God is not taking you on a journey. The devil is taking you for a ride. Can you say amen? And if somebody don't step in and preach repentance, and if some people don't bow down to Him again, we're headed for the rocks of destruction. We're already losing our lampstand, our credibility with the world. One thing I like, and I'm not a Pope fan per se, one thing I like that the Pope said, he said, you can't be a priest and be a child molester. You can't be a priest with a problem. You can't be a priest with some kind of weakness. You just can't be a priest and do that. You can't be a Christian and do certain things. Amen. We don't have a lower standard. At some point, the church is going to have to repent in America. We're headed for a tough time. We made silver and gold our God, and our silver and gold is in jeopardy. I just got gas in my mom's Toyota. Why are you not in your picking up truck? I love my truck. But I like to eat too. My truck has a 4.3 V6. There's a bigger engine in displacement in my truck than there is in my dad's Cadillac. He's got a 4.1 V8. I got a 4.3 V6. It'll scream. I love it. But it sucks gas like Mike drinks milkshakes. I'm just kidding. I don't know if you like them or not, but I love milkshakes. And I don't play with no milkshake. I don't want it too thick. I want to get it, boy. And I don't want it too thin either. But I don't want to eat it with no spoon. I want to suck it through that straw, and I want it coming. I don't want it to stop. I don't want to have to stop to stir it. Can you? Hallelujah. Amen. So my mama has an old Toyota. It's got a little old four-cylinder. It'll do 80 like that. I didn't know it would do 80 like that. I drove it a long time ago. That little old four-cylinder, I used to say, bad, four-cylinder, bad. Amen. But now that gas costs so much, four-cylinder, good. It's good. Amen. I could do 60 to church, and I think I'd be happy with it. But God is good.